Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast, where we feature discussions with the unique personalities we find in our small town. I'm your host, Roger Gross, and today we continue our series of interviews with candidates for City Council and Mayor in partnership with Boulder City Social. This week we sit down with Cokie Booth, the candidate for City Council. Cokie ran in the most recent council election and lost by only a few votes, so she's back again. As a successful realtor in town, she's concerned about the character of the town and the ability to control growth. A former member of the Planning Commission, Cokie says she's seeking a council seat because she wants to give back to the community. She spoke with me in Boulder City in late April. The Boulder City Podcast is sponsored by the Emerald Island Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. We're doing our series of candidate interviews, and we have Cokie Booth with us today. Cokie ran for City Council in the last election, narrowly lost. I mean, it was just a thin loss. And Cokie, I'm glad you're running again because you bring a lot to the campaign.
Thank you. I try my hardest.
So a lot of people know you, but for those who don't, why don't you give us a little background of your history and what you've been doing in Boulder City?
Well, I like to give back. That's just part of my DNA. I mm-hmm. always say that. So coming to Boulder City, I saw a real need for children. Mm-hmm. When I came to Boulder City, there wasn't, they didn't have a skateboard park. The kids were getting written up for riding their skateboards down right. downtown street. And so worked to get over at the Veterans, a skateboard park over there, and get that park going over there for kids. There was adult ball fields, but sure. there weren't things for kids. There were no little league fields. Mm-hmm. So really got involved with children, saw a need for before and after school programs for kids, so got involved with the Boys and Girls Club mm-hmm. and actually became Woman of the Year over in Henderson Great. For the Boys and Girls mm-hmm. Club. And I love doing that. I was really disappointed when it went away. And mm-hmm. I think if I get elected to the City Council, I would really want to make sure that our before school and after school program stays intact sure. because so many single parents and they need that service for mm-hmm. their children if they're trying to work and they don't have, I mean, they're just barely making it with inflation right now. It's really tough.
Sure.
So that they have a place, a safe place for their kids after school.
Great. And of course, you're a well-known realtor in town. You've been very successful. People see your picture on all the signs, and so you're a successful businesswoman. So why did you decide to run again? Is it just because you lost so narrowly last time?
That, and I also want to be that person that for my nieces, my daughters, my grandchildren, my granddaughters, that if you don't succeed the first time, mm-hmm. if you feel that you're the right person for sure. it and this is something you should be doing, to get out there and do it again. Because too many times as women, if we don't win the first time, we don't go on to try again.
Sure.
With men, it's different. I think you've played sports all your life, and so you kind of right. know to get out there and try again. So this is, I think I'm the best candidate, mm-hmm. and so therefore I wanted to be that example yeah, for the girls in my life.
That's a great cause there for sure. So one of the things that's happening recently is since the COVID pandemic hit, you know, the city's getting I think something around $20 million. Mm-hmm. I think we've already gotten half of that, but there's still a lot left. What would you like to see that spent on?
Well, I'd like to see, because a lot of that can be sent towards water projects and mm-hmm. water conservation. So I really would like to see it spent on the old golf course. Mm-hmm. A lot of our underground landscaping is really old over there.
Right.
We have a lot of water leakage. Mm-hmm. And our other golf course is just beautiful, and we don't need all that grass.
Right.
I think by eliminating some grass and fixing the water lines over there, that we could save a lot of water, and that would be money well spent. Also, I know our swimming pool is leaking, mm-hmm. so I'm wondering, I don't know enough about all the rules and everything,
right.
if some of that money could go towards the swimming pool to eliminate the water leaking, because that pool was built inside of another pool,
sure.
and so it's leaking, and it's an antique, that pool.
Right.
And so I'm just wondering if some money could go towards the swimming pool.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the pool later.
Okay.
The pool referendum later in the interview here, but 3 years ago when the entire city council was overturned, a new mayor, uh-huh. the really big issue there was, of course, a slow growth ordinance. Yeah, you know, people were
were upset with, and it wasn't even, we don't even know whether it was proposals or what, but there was some suggestion that, that there'd be a massive housing development down by Cascada and that kind of thing. And people were just upset about that. So, and now we've got this land sale, this Track 350, which the city approved over 10 years ago to sell, which of course is part of the slow growth ordinance. But now they're saying they want to be have it a little more high concentration of homes there. Where do you stand on that? On that, let's talk about Track 350 first.
Okay, I love Track 350 because I was a planning commissioner mm-hmm. when all of this right. came about, when the city voted to change that over to residential. Mm-hmm. First of all the owners over there purchased that thinking that was vacant land
sure,
out there.
Right.
But then when we had the hearings for zoning, and we did that, we let everybody come and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the planning commission at that time, as I was a planning commissioner, we zoned it all basically R10 and a little bit of R15, feeling that trying to be consistent with zoning, the old golf course, the Lewis homes that built around the golf course, mm-hmm. that's all R10 over there.
Right.
I always leave the one out. It's one single family
sure.
residence for 10,000 square feet. But being consistent in the zoning is important in a community for it to, you don't want it going hodgepodge.
Sure.
And I think that it's important that that stay zoned R10, R15. They've talked about putting 185 homes out there on that. I went to the meeting mm-hmm. for that, and Toll Brothers said 185 homes. In that, and a lot of those would be on R5 lots, mm-hmm. and they would be duplexes. So for me, that's not the right use of that land around a prize like our golf course, mm-hmm. and you should be consistent with other golf courses in other areas where there's luxury homes. The homes that are around that area are on large lots. Boulder Hills is zoned, which we that came in to be affordable housing,
right.
and those were built on R7 lots. Mm-hmm. So for me, going down to high density, and not only high density, but they don't have any swimming pools planned,
mm-hmm. right.
no basketball courts, mm-hmm. Nothing for the kids to play, so they're going to be out on the golf course, and that's not going to be a good combination.
Sure.
So normally when you have high density, you have an association there, and then you have your swimming pool and your playground area and your basketball courts, tennis courts, that sort of thing. Nothing like that's planned. It's just high density.
Right.
So I'm very opposed to them proposing that. I think when we had the hearings and the citizens had the opportunity to come out, and we zoned it properly at
right.
the R10.
Mm-hmm. And I think it doesn't reflect what the voters approved. They were told that there's going to be approximately 100 homes. Well, 185 is almost twice as many homes.
Twice as many homes. And I don't see how that goes along with our slow growth
sure.
Philosophy and how we want to live.
Right.
I grew up in a little town called Palmdale. I don't know if you've ever heard
mm-hmm.
of it. It's
yep.
in California.
Right.
Really sweet little town, a lot like Boulder City.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they opened the floodgates,
yep.
there's a train, and now Palmdale has got, one of the nice things about living there, everybody knew everybody, and these people coming out of the city wanted to come there so they'd get their kids out of the gangs and
right.
stuff like that. All that did was bring the gangs to Palmdale. And I'm not saying the whole area is that way, but
sure.
gosh, there's homeless along the highways
mm-hmm.
now. It's just, it's not a sweet little town like I grew up in,
right.
like Boulder City. And I don't ever want to see that happen to Boulder
no,
City.
No, absolutely not. However, you are for slow growth and not no growth. I mean, there's
absolutely
certain people that want to see no growth whatsoever.
Our charter says that we can do 120 homes a year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have 120 lots so available. And there's a few parcels out there where we could build some more.
Yeah.
But I think keeping it the way that it is, the slow growth, and keeping our charter intact is the most important thing.
Sure, absolutely. So we also have some problems in the El Dorado Valley with Henderson encroaching into the valley there. We've got a possible development that could come right over the hill there. What can we do? Obviously, I understand we can't stop that because that's already a done deal. What can we do to prevent it from extending even further?
Well, Well, I'm not too concerned about it extending further in the sense that that piece of land was connected to Henderson.
Right.
And so when you annex something in, you take pieces of land that maybe belong to BLM or this is Clark County and make it part of your community.
Right.
Kind of like what we did is we brought land into our community.
Sure.
So that annexation, I don't think is anything to be concerned about. The rest of it, it's up to us if we want to allow somebody to come over. They can't just come over and take it from us.
Right.
There's a process they'd have to go through. And so we're there to protect that land. On the other side, it was kind of hard with that annexation because it's attached to Henderson.
Right.
And then the land next to it was all privately owned. So it made sense for Henderson to take that piece of land. But I don't see them coming to take over Boulder City.
Right.
I think they respect those boundaries.
Well, there's still some unincorporated land, though, you know, between Boulder City and Henderson. I mean, should we annex that land first?
Absolutely. I mean, if it's attached to us, why not take that land and try and start the process like Henderson did? I think that would be something to really look into.
Okay, great. So, you know, since the pandemic, even, you know, during the pandemic and since then, we've had several businesses close. A lot of restaurants have closed and, you know, other businesses. Do you think the city does enough to really support the local businesses in town?
Well, that's a tough question, but what I like to see is that the city works with the chamber and with the two of them, because that's why I belong to the Chamber of Commerce, is because I want them to market Boulder City so that I get business. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that Boulder City is a tourist destination.
Right.
And the train museum, I mean, bless Jean Sagerblum's heart. When she wanted to put a train museum over there, I thought, what? That didn't make any sense. But now I think, oh, that just is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just love the concept and what it's going to do. And we really need the city and the chamber to market Boulder City, to bring those tourist dollars over to Boulder City so that we can survive. Because we don't have any jobs really to offer here in Boulder City. So we've got to get our income from the tourists that come to Boulder City.
Now, we have some great events in town, the Art in the Park, the Spring Jamboree, the July 4th celebration, things of that nature. Do you think we should encourage more of that kind of stuff, you know, maybe in the parks of Boulder City?
Absolutely. And I got to put a little plug in for Bark in the Park.
Right.
It's coming up the first Saturday in May at 11 o'clock.
We'll have my dogs there.
Good. And Lloyd, the police officer, Salazar, is going to bring Lloyd down, and he's going to do a little presentation for us.
Okay.
And I love your dog. You have golden retrievers, and those are the sweetest darn dogs in the whole world. So absolutely. I love doing stuff like that. And I think that's one of the things that I really fell in love with Boulder City is coming down, dancing in the street at nighttime and having, you know, picnics and stuff like that. To me, that's just amazing. It's going to be a wonderful car show, too, at Spring Jam. So if anybody's listening, come down and join us.
Right, great.
Visit the Rainbow Club and Emerald Island Casinos for award-winning dining and the best selection of the newest video reel games, video keno, and video poker. Recognized by the Las Vegas Review Journal's Best of Las Vegas Awards, Emerald Island Casino has been voted Best Video Poker, Best Paying Slots, Best Henderson Casino, Best Henderson Restaurant, Best Locals Casino Valleywide, Best Breakfast, Best Coffee Shop, and Best Diner. Rainbow Club's new restaurant, Triple B, was also voted Best Burger and Best Brunch. Emerald Island Casino and Rainbow Club Casino, where slot players are treated like royalty.
So in the last election, city voters rejected allowing off-road vehicles on the streets, even though, you know, a lot of people enjoy it. It's a perfect way to get onto the desert. I mean, do you think we should reconsider that, or maybe tweak the ordinance a little bit to make sure people who opposed it are comfortable with that?
Well, it barely lost last time. It it almost passed.
Right.
So there's some desire there. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the problems is that the police, if you saw one black razor or a red razor, how did you tell one from another?
Right.
So they've done some work to get that straightened out, and now the police have a way of being able to track these vehicles. And I think there's an opportunity to bring business into our communities when somebody's doing off-roading. But they have to be respectful of the laws.
Sure.
And they already can go from your home to the desert to the nearest point. So mm-hmm. they're already allowed on the road.
Right.
And I think it would be, if we regulated it and had laws for it, mm-hmm. we could get rid of bad actors.
Right, right. Okay, great. So another thing they turned down was the pool, as we mentioned before. But that was basically because we were talking about the Taj Mahal of pools.
Yes.
You know, do you think we could reintroduce that with a much more reasonable price tag?
I agree. I think so. And I think the pool committee's done a really good job on mm-hmm. that. I sat down with the city manager on that. And what they plan on doing is building a pool right beside our old pool, same kind of footprint.
Right.
Then once that pool's built, then they can knock the existing pool down. Mm-hmm. That pool needs to be replaced.
Sure.
My family used to be in the pool business.
Right.
It's an antique.
Yep.
You go in there and swim and you come out smelling like chlorine because mm-hmm. they just don't have, it's not, the equipment's not there. It's not set up to function in today's world. So it needs to be replaced. And I would like to find some ways to get it replaced sooner than later.
Yeah, sure. And it's really been a plus for the community. I mean, we've developed some Olympics level swimmers in
Absolutely.
Boulder City.
Absolutely. And not only that, but just that the seniors have a social place to
sure.
go do mm-hmm. water aerobics.
Right.
A child learns to swim and doesn't drown in a backyard.
Sure.
And like you said, in the pluses of having some Olympians, it will not be Olympic-sized pool, so they will not be able to practice there. They're going to have to go elsewhere to practice still.
Right.
But you can practice your flips and
sure.
some of the other things right. in that pool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so heavy with chlorine right now that
yeah.
I don't think it's really healthy for long periods of time to spend in that pool.
For
I
sure.
really
Especially
like to
Especially when
see
the
it.
Dome's on, right?
Yeah, when the dome's on it, yes.
So let's talk about the airport. That's obviously been very controversial
yeah.
in the last few years, especially the leases on the hangars.
Yes.
You know, the city decided to take over those leases rather than renew the leases. You know, they could have gone either way, but they decided to get into the rental business for hangars. Do you think that was the right decision, and would you like that to see that revisited?
Well, on the lease of the hangars, I did go to the city manager and try to get some information, because this is the information that I asked.
Mm-hmm.
What does it cost if we allowed them to keep it? Maybe gave them, they had to pay a fee to us for purchasing it back again,
right.
basically, and raising the leases up, versus the city taking it over and having a higher insurance,
mm-hmm.
having that person that has to maintain those buildings and the liability of maintaining those buildings. What does it look like in the two scenarios? I would really like to sit down and look at what does it cost to let them keep it? What does it cost if we take it over?
Right.
Because you have to have the city's best interest at heart.
Of course.
But financially, it might be better to let them keep those hangars.
Right. I mean, some of the things that needed to be done, they needed some more updated fire suppression systems, which is a fairly expensive thing. And I'm not even sure if the city has done that, you know, while they took over. So
are working on it. Mm-hmm. And in all of the contracts, the way I understand it, is they were already liable for the fire suppression.
Right.
For however those got written up,
yeah.
the city was responsible for it. So they are going through and updating those now.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
So you just like to see, you know, more data on the table so you could make a more informed decision.
Absolutely. And let everybody see that data.
Right.
So that I can have help with that informed decision. So,
right.
But I think that's all stuff that could come from the staff at the city. So it wouldn't take a lot of funds to be able to just to do that study.
Sure. And then there's a proposal to build an air traffic control tower mm-hmm. down there as well. Right now there's not one. Doesn't seem to be a problem, but I'm just wondering why you were even considering that if it's really not a problem so far, you know.
As I understand it, that they are not going to be building that tower now. They have to do a new environmental study, so because
mm-hmm.
the old one has gone away. And
right.
so they had some grant money to build that tower with,
right.
so they're going to be replacing the runways out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great thing to do.
Sure.
And then I think, again, visit the tower. I like to brainstorm. I like to chit-chat and
mm-hmm.
go back and forth and listen to pilots, what they have to say about a tower. And then make my decision from people that actually use the airport, not somebody sitting in an office, but somebody that actually flies and knows how to fly and uses the different types of airports and why one is better over the other. And so I really would like to have the feedback from the pilots if we move forward with the tower.
Right. Well, in that regard, City Council recently made some appointments to the Airport Advisory Board, and several of the people they appointed have no history in aviation whatsoever. One guy said, "I'm interested in aviation," and he got appointed, you know, whereas an experienced pilot who actually uses the airport was not approved as a previous member.
And sometimes with our appointing of positions, I would like to see us, as City Council members, interview these people that we are appointing. Mm-hmm. So, and then have a vote, okay, this person's a good person to go right forward. Because I'm with you. I think that we should have pilots out there telling us what to do. I want their feedback because I don't fly, so I don't. I need that feedback to be able to make an informed decision. And I'll probably be going to pilots and asking them questions when it comes up to the airport, because there's several of them that are teach flying out there.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a better person to talk to than somebody that really teaches people to take off and land and really utilize that airport is a pilot.
Right.
So I really think the advisory committee is really very important to the City Council, and I don't think we're utilizing them properly. I would like anything that came up on the regarding the airport at a City Council meeting to have the notes from the advisory committee. Doesn't mean that I would always go along with it. It just means that I would want to listen to what they had to say so that I could make my decision based on the facts.
Okay, great. So the electric rates are raising for everybody in Nevada and everybody across the country, I imagine. But and they are raising for Boulder City as well. I mean, we still probably have the lowest rates in the state, but it's still going up. Could we use some of the money that we get from the solar fields to kind of offset those increases, do you think?
I would think we could, and we probably should, because what happens after a certain amount of usage, the rates go up. So maybe we could keep, especially for some of your seniors or people that are already on assistance, so if they go over a certain amount, their rates start going sky high, as maybe with some of that fund so that we could keep their rates down lower so that they don't, because a lot of times they can't afford to do the windows and insulation that somebody else can do. So they're in need of more power so that we don't kill them in the summertime.
Right.
And so
or maybe they can get grants to put those energy saving things into their homes. You know?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So I think we could. I think that would be a good idea to look into.
Okay, great. So a couple of years ago, the mayor and council dismissed three staff members after being elected. Two of those staff members have brought suit against the city, and those suits are stretching on. You know, I've heard estimates that it's costing the city $300,000 in legal fees. I mean, should the city settle this situation and just put an end to it as quickly as possible here?
Well, I've had the pleasure of working in corporate America and owning my own business. And what's happened is only the attorneys are making money now, and the city's losing because we're having to pay for it. In corporate America, when new CEOs come on or CFOs come on, you want to get rid of the employees and bring your own people on board. What you do is you write them a letter of recommendation, you end their contract as they're written, and you move on. Unfortunately, we didn't do that here.
Right.
So we're stuck with all these attorney fees. I truly believe that we need to negotiate these and get and end them. And I don't know if they can end. I haven't been able to talk to an attorney, but I would certainly try to end them as soon as possible, because the longer we go on, the richer the attorney gets.
Right. So the ethics board ruled in this case that the mayor acted with animus, against the two employees that have filed these things. Would you support sanctioning the mayor for his actions?
Well, I think the time to be sanctioned was when it happened.
Yeah.
So for me to go in and try to sanction him now would seem ridiculous to me. But he should have been sanctioned at the time.
Yeah. Okay. So elections in Boulder City are nonpartisan, but I've learned that people in Boulder City want to know what your philosophy of government, and that's often tied to what political party. Are you comfortable telling us what political party you're
registered with? Absolutely. I'm a registered Republican, and I like to say that I'm very independent. Some of my favorite people I voted for that were Democrats was Jean Sagerblum. I love that lady. And then Mike Pacini and Bob Ferraro and Duncan McCoy.
Okay.
And so I've always supported those people, worked on some of their candidacies. And I think it's important in a small community to hire the right people mm-hmm. to come in and run your community, not base it on if they're Republican, Democrat, or
right.
independent. I think it's important that you look at the qualities of that person. And that's where I feel I have those qualities to start day one to work.
So do you support a smaller government or an expanded government to take care of what people see as the needs of this the town?
Well, I believe in small government, but I do believe that we take care of the needs of our community, mm-hmm. like our children. Like I said, I really feel it's important that we have the funds there for the before and after school program. I don't want to see any senior sitting in their little manufactured home or trailer and dying from heat stroke. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's inexcusable in
right.
a community. There's different grants and different programs sometimes, and just finding the needs of these people and maybe educating them and trying to help them get assistance somewhere. But absolutely, I believe in a small government, but you take care of your own.
Okay. So how would you work with other members, with the mayor and other members of city council if you were elected, and the staff, of course?
Well, I have been a planning commissioner for 13 years, mm-hmm. and so people know me from working with me there.
Sure.
I was on the cosmetology board for 8 years for the mm-hmm. state of Nevada, professional standards. It's all about working together and not always feeling like your idea is the best idea,
sure.
but to go in with an open mind and to listen. So I think it's important that you respect each other and that you listen to each other and mm-hmm. truly listen to each other.
Sure.
And with staff, I feel that with staff, you, as a city council person, we don't tell them what to do or what they can do, but we utilize them and take them away from some of their other work sometimes. So I think it could probably be frustrating for them to have to help once in a while, but always to respect them and treat them like I want to be treated, and to thank them for when they help you and do things that help your job and make your job easier.
Sure. But at the same time, they work for the mayor and the council, so they have to respond to what you want them to do.
Yes, but that's through the city manager.
Right.
We don't tell this. We can't walk in and say,
sure.
do this for me.
Right.
We have to give it to the city manager, and then he will delegate it. That's what I mean,
yeah,
is
sure.
that
okay.
I would be going through the city manager, but I would probably be sitting down working with some of these folks side by side.
Sure.
And I would want to give them the same respect that I would want, and that would be to listen to them and treat them respectfully.
Sure, sure. Well, Koki, it's great to sit down with you. Good luck in the election here, the primary election. I think it's going to be an exciting election. Certainly have some interesting candidates, and hopefully you'll get over the top this time. And,
I'm certainly going to try. I love Boulder City, and I want to be your next city council person.
Well, great. Thanks for joining us, and if you make the runoff, we'll talk again.
Okay, I'd love to.
Great.
Thanks for joining us on the Boulder City Podcast, sponsored by the Emerald Island Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Special thanks to Boulder City Social for partnering with us on the election series and helping to disseminate the programs. Join us next week when we sit down with Tanya Vici, the third candidate for mayor of Boulder City. So we'll see you next week on the Boulder City Podcast.